Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and welcome to our weekly news podcast. Today, we are going to talk international law, and we're going to talk specifically about China's new anti-monopoly law. Not long ago, Chinese officials used that law to veto Coca-Cola's plans to acquire Huiyuan, a large soda and juice business in China. And that was the first major ruling from Chinese officials using the anti-monopoly law. So we're going to talk about what that means and whether the law could complicate expansion plans of U.S. businesses that want to go into China. Joining us to talk about that deal is Hannah Ha, and she is a partner in the Hong Kong office of the law firm Mayer Brown. Hannah, thank you. Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
It's my pleasure, Matt.
All right. And the first question I had was that this is the first major decision Chinese regulators have made under the anti-monopoly law, if I understand it correctly. Could you tell me just how surprising was this ruling, or were people expecting it?
Right. Well, this is the first decision by the Ministry of Commerce, we normally call it MOFCOM, to prohibit a transaction under the anti-monopoly law. So in that sense, it is very significant. However, there have been previous noteworthy decisions under the law. For example, on 18th November 2008, MOFCOM announced its decision to clear Inbev's acquisition of Anheuser-Busch, subject to some significant conditions. So China has, the Inbev decision was the first time Chinese authorities have explicitly imposed conditions on a transaction based on antitrust review grounds. So that decision also signaled that the new regime has teeth and in a sense paved the way for outcomes like the new Coca-Cola decision. Mm-hmm. And it is true that the Coca-Cola decision is one that has grabbed the world's attention, because it was the a U.S. dollar $2.4 billion acquisition, and it would be the largest buyout of a Chinese company by a foreign firm.
Yeah.
As regard to whether the decision is surprising, I think the correct answer is yes, to some extent, but perhaps not as surprising or indefensible as some commentators are suggesting. There are a couple of reasons for this. Well, firstly, because, unease about the deal's prospects rose when MOFCOM moved to its second phase review process in mid-December 2008. And most deals reviewed by MOFCOM are cleared within an initial 30-day review period, including the Inbev decision. So it was clear by late last year that Coca-Cola had significant antitrust issues to address in China in relation to the deal. And secondly, there was international precedent for blocking a deal such as this. In particular, the Australian competition regulator had blocked Coca-Cola's planned acquisition of the Berry Juice Company in 2003 for reasons that appear very similar to those MOFCOM has relied upon. And so in particular, both regulators seem to have acknowledged that while the carbonated soft drinks and juice companies play in different markets, a combination of such companies can have significant vertical implications in the sense of providing the merged firm with such extensive distribution networks and power in those markets as to be able to take steps to shut out other competitors in one or both fields.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think it would be wrong to say that it is a totally surprising decision. But at the same time, I think the majority view from commentators was that the deal would be passed. So it is a little bit out of those commentators' expectation.
So now what does this tell us about how Chinese regulators are interpreting the anti-monopoly law? Should U.S. companies be expecting close scrutiny all the time, or was the Coca-Cola deal something of an exception?
Well, I think the key message to take from the two major decisions by MOFCOM so far is that MOFCOM is likely to want to attach conditions on deals done by businesses who are already significant players in their own market so as to limit the prospect of their market power being wielded in a way that allows them to readily grow that power or transfer their dominance to other markets. Well, what this means for businesses who may have to submit their deals for review by MOFCOM in the future is that they must be attuned to the prospect that MOFCOM may want to negotiate last-minute changes to the deal structure or to impose forward-looking conditions restricting the market behavior of the transaction parties after the deal is implemented. So parties will need to give advance consideration to the kinds of negotiated outcomes that may be acceptable and ensure they are in a position to offer or implement them promptly if this is required to ensure approval of a notified deal. Well, for U.S. or any other non-Chinese companies wanting to take significant stakes in Chinese companies, I think close scrutiny is inevitable, especially in those sensitive industry sectors and where the Chinese authorities do not want to give up control. To some extent, there are different treatment for foreign firms when compared to domestic acquisitions by PRC firms in MOFCOM's review process. Well, for example, the anti-monopoly law empowers the Chinese authorities to review foreign investment in Chinese firms that is seen to raise national security issues, in addition to dealing with the pure antitrust issues. So U.S. firms may have to grapple with national security review and the process and timeliness that may apply to such review are not clear at this stage.
So if I'm a U.S. company and I want to purchase a Chinese company that might trigger some sort of review, what should I be doing to make sure that the review process is as smooth as possible? You had mentioned I should be prepared for last-minute conditions or changes regulators might want, but is there anything else that U.S. companies should be thinking about if they're going to wind up going through this review process?
Yeah, sure. I think there are, basically four main steps to consider. Well, firstly, it is important to consider the impact of the anti-monopoly law and to take steps to mitigate this impact as early as possible. Well, take, for example, if parties are required to submit to MOFCOM very extensive reports on relevant deals, these reports can be time-consuming and expensive to produce. They need to include a lot of China-specific information, which may not readily be available to U.S. parties. And they also need to be translated into Chinese. So the process of preparing these reports need to start as soon as possible. And secondly, where deals may impact a significant sector of the Chinese economy or may involve a famous Chinese brand like Huiyuan, the prospect of lengthy review on competition grounds cannot be discounted. A decision on the Coca-Cola deal, effectively took 6 months because the parties consulted with MOFCOM for 2 months before their notification documents were in sufficient shape to be accepted, and then the process of formal review of these documents took 4 months. The prospect of such lengthy consultation and examination will obviously affect deal timetables and the resources and management time that may need to be made available to address competition concerns. Thirdly, it is clear in relation to both the Coca-Cola and InBev deals that MOFCOM consulted widely with interested parties, such as competitors of the transaction parties and their customers.
Yeah.
Such broad industry consultation by MOFCOM is becoming a more frequent occurrence as it expands its resources and expertise in this area. Accordingly, it will be prudent for parties to conduct advanced discussions, where feasible, of course, with relevant competitors, customers, and industry associations to brief them on positive aspects of a deal that is to be notified. And this may increase the prospect of regulatory consultation with these parties proceeding smoothly and promptly. And finally, as previously mentioned, there will be situations in which it is prudent to take steps such as to consider alternative deal structures at an early stage or even implementing proactive divestments for some obviously overlapping business units or giving of undertakings to MOFCOM about retaining famous brands or protecting jobs in China so as to address the potential areas of concern of MOFCOM. And we know that MOFCOM attempted to negotiate solutions and remedies to competition concerns it identified with Coca-Cola. Well, but unfortunately, it was unable to reach agreement with Coca-Cola on these matters. So going forward, parties notifying deals to MOFCOM in China should give advance consideration to the kinds of negotiated outcomes that may be acceptable.
All right. Well, unfortunately, Hannah, we are out of time right now, so we'll have to close there. But this was a fascinating subject, and I really want to thank you very much for your time. It's been very informative.
It's my pleasure, Matt.
Okay. And again, everybody, joining us was Hannah Ha of the law firm Mayer Brown. She was talking to us about China's new anti-monopoly law and how it is being interpreted in that country. I am Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and that's all for this week's podcast. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again next week.